Morning, everyone. We're carrying on our series looking at worship, and we're saying that worship is to walk with God and to be aware of God in everything that we do, that worship's not just a Sunday thing, it's a life thing. So I want you to imagine a funeral, and someone stands up and they're about to give a talk about someone. Rarely at a funeral do people talk about the salary, the wages that that person earned, and no one really says about this guy or this woman had an amazing house and they had 400 square meters. No one mentions that. Really, no one mentions how many Instagram followers they had and on their account, or whether they were a really big influencer. No one talks about projects started and projects completed. Maybe they do if you're Isambard Kingdom Brunel. They might talk about amazing architecture and bridges. But really, when that person stands up, generally they talk about the stories of love, really, don't they? They talk about a life lived in generosity, kindness and faithfulness to people. People stand up and say, that person loved me really well, or that person's life or their passion really influenced me. It's funny that in death, that's what we talk about, but in life, we measure ourselves by success, by comparison, by achievements, by how many people we have on our social media accounts and how many people we're influencing, whether we've got platforms and numbers. We measure ourselves by that in life, but in death we measure everything by relationships. Everything is about love. And the Bible really says, live now in this moment in the light of actually what ultimately matters. We often think about finish lines and achievements and crossing the next line. The Bible more talks about the simplicity of walking with God as the ultimate relationship. And what a beautiful thing to have on your gravestone, walked with God. Because the implications of that are this person's life was overflowing the reality of who God was to them. There's an amazing verse that I want to unpack about a person who, it says, fundamentally lived according to this principle of walking with God. And Enoch doesn't have very much in the Bible, but he appears in Genesis 5:24, and it says Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then it says, then he was no more because God took him away. So we think, what's all that about? Well, Hebrews 11 wants to tell us a little bit more about that. And it says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. So as far as I can remember, there's only two people in the Bible, I think, who did not experience death. That's Enoch and Elijah. Remember, he got taken up in a chariot. And it says Enoch didn't experience death. He's walking with God. And one day, someone said, where's Enoch? No idea. He's just gone. He went off to pick up a newspaper and he never came back. And they never found him. And the Bible says he disappeared because God took him. He walked with God and God took him. And it says before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Sometimes we think about, I want to please God, and what does it mean to please God? And I wonder if God would be pleased with this, and is my life pleasing to God? And Enoch's life says, you want to please God, it's not that complex. You just walk with him in the whole of life. So Enoch's life, whole life is captured by the idea he walked with God. Now, Hebrews 11 that celebrates men and women of faith, there's lots of different things, and some people did do amazing things, and some people did do great activities. But Enoch, it just says, at 65, he had his kids, and then for 300 years he walked with God. It doesn't say he built anything. It doesn't say he led anything. It doesn't say he achieved anything. He simply walked by faith. And Hebrews 11 says that faith is one, being sure that God exists. Not just, I think God exists, but I believe in his nature, in his character, in his goodness, and who he is. He's compassionate, powerful, or knowing, kind, merciful, awesome, awesome God. He believed that God exists, and he believed that by walking with God, God is the rewarder of those who walk with him. That Enoch thought, do you know what, there's nothing better than I can do with my life than walk with the God I know exists. Nothing is more wonderful than that. And then it just says God was pleased. Enoch walked with God and God was pleased. So this phrase walking is a really interesting biblical phrase to describe life. Like, I remember when we first got married, I used to say, let's go out for a walk. And because that's what British people do, we just go for a walk. For no reason, just to go for a walk. And Rochelle would often say, but why?
Where?
Where? What are we doing? The Bible is not just talking about going off for a stroll on a Sunday afternoon and saying, Jesus, you're coming, we're going to go for a stroll. A walk in biblical terms is to live one's whole life with a walk. So walking with somebody to signifies exceptionally deep, intimate relationship. To walk with somebody, to live consciously aware of a person you're walking with, is talking about intimacy, is talking about closeness, it's talking about faith, it's talking about obedience, it's talking about this idea of continuous communion, awareness of. And I think we can grow in those things. I'm not saying that, I think he learned how to do these things, Enoch. He had 300 years, it's a long time to learn how to walk with a person. But we can learn how to have this continuous communion. That worship is actually a life we live with God. That's what worship is. To walk with God is to know your great why you're on planet Earth. Sometimes we talk about what's my purpose? What's my gifting? What's my calling? What's my contribution? We sometimes talk about what's my legacy? How will I be remembered? But the Bible would say your great why is this walking with. Everything you do. That's why the most mundane, ordinary, everyday things suddenly take on a meaning that's glorious and amazing when you know you're walking with this amazing God. Walking means I'm coming to God only for the sake of intimacy with God. Have you ever had moments in your life where you think, actually, I don't have much communion or prayer in my life, but then you hit a crisis, and in a crisis you want answers, you want solutions, you want wisdom, you want provision, you want direction, and you think, oh, I remember someone who's pretty good at all those things. I'll have a bit of time with him. Walking with isn't just to walk with to get something. It's walking with the express purpose. I'm only coming for intimacy with. And I'm not saying there won't be other conversations along the way, and we'll come to those in a moment or two. So it's walking with, and Joe alluded to it with the little foxes and Song of Songs, it means to steward your whole inner life towards God. So Jesus used other pictures. He said about, you know, the sower sows seed. And then he says, you know, some of it falls on the ground and some of it's on rocky ground. And some of it gets choked out by the thorns. In other words, cultivate the soil of your heart so that the seed of this communion with God has good soil. Another way of saying it would be hosting God well. You know, when you have someone who comes to your house and you really want to honour them, you think, what's their favourite food, and what do they like to eat, and do they like to do certain things, and you kind of orientate the whole thing. To host God well is to say, God, this place is your home, you've made it your home, how do you want it to be set out? What does the furniture look like in the house? You want to move the TV? You move the TV. It's your home. I want you to be really, really comfortable and welcome. Walking with someone is about sharing your thoughts and your experiences and your desires with God. It's the whole of your life. To walk with God means there's not just the spiritual face and then there's your real stuff. It's everything. It's coming to God with your doubts, your concerns, your unbelief, your beliefs. Everything you are is walking with God. Walking with God means I'm recognizing I want to be faithful to Him when no one is looking, when there's no human audience, when the only one in the whole universe who knows is God, who I'm walking with. I want to know what pleases Him. I want to know what choices and decisions to make to connect to Him. There's this phrase comes from a theologian that says, the expulsive power of a greater affection. And the expulsive power of a greater affection. When our hearts are full of a longing devotion to God, it's quite hard to do other things, isn't it? Because this greater affection, this heart reality, pushes out the other things. You say, I don't want that. I'm in communion with God. I'm walking with God. I want to please God. It's the expulsive power of a greater affection. Sometimes people say, how do I overcome something by a greater affection? You need an encounter with love. How can you surrender if you don't know the one you're surrendering to? We sang it, Joe prayed it. But to fall into the arms and trust somebody with everything, you need to know their heart. You need to know they're aware of you. They love you. They're concerned for you. Their kindness towards you. It's the expulsive power. Paul says something very similar in the book of Philippians 3:8. He says, yes, everything else is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And you look in that context, he had amazing historical realities. He had, when Paul was a Pharisee, he went to a meal. People would applaud him and clap him and move him to the head table. He had status. He was the top of his academic class. He had everything at his feet. And he said, compared to all the status and accolades I had, I consider those worthless. And actually, if you're just interesting, I won't say it now, but that word worthless, you know, I compare it as worthless in comparison. We might use a polite word like I consider it dung, or probably in the original language it was more of a swear word that you can imagine. I compare it as compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so we might say, how is it possible then to walk with God in this way? The reality is Jesus said, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm sending the friend, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, and he will lead you into all truth. He will remind you of everything I taught you. He will remind you of my grace and my power. And Paul says, walk habitually by the Spirit. So Paul said, if you want to know how to live the Christian life, it's a walk, but it's a walk with the Spirit. It's a walk. Being guided, living by, and directed by the Holy Spirit. It's what Galatians 5:16 says. Someone once said, if you knew that Jesus physically said to you, come, walk with me today, we're going to do some evangelism, how many of you become more courageous? You say, Jesus, I'm going to go and let's go into the field together, and I'll show you how to love people, I'll show you about words of knowledge, I'll show you about moving in mountain, moving surges of faith. I'll show you about words of wisdom. I'll show you about healing the sick. Come with me and I'll show you. How many of you are up for going out in the streets with Jesus? But Jesus says, I've sent you the Spirit and he's just like me. So Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Be guided, led, directed by the Holy Spirit. That means the Spirit of Christ is with us wherever we go. So as we're living our life, as we're walking with and attentive to, it means the Holy Spirit is with you on the 53 bus. It means the Holy Spirit is with you in the supermarket. It means the Holy Spirit is with you as you walk down the street. It means the Holy Spirit is going with you into that meeting that intimidates you. It means the Holy Spirit is going with you into that difficult family situation. The Holy Spirit is with you in every single part of your life. Not just a feeling, but God himself. That's an amazing thing. God himself with us, walking with us. Because God wants to be part of our everyday reality. He's not interested in just being part of our Sunday reality. Mm-hmm. Because we can easily come and have moments that are amazing, and moments where we have great time with God, whether it's here or on a Wednesday, and we're really aware of Him, and we're really full of hope, and we're caught up in the amazing power of what it is when the body gathers. There's something uniquely wonderful of walking with Jesus with one another. But God doesn't want us just to have a reality of Him just on a Sunday when we're together. He wants that reality to come with you into the afternoon, and come with you into Monday, and all through the week. God's saying, regardless of the terrain we're walking on, regardless of the landscape we're in right now, I want you to be aware that I'm with you. That God wants us to be aware that whatever's going on, I'm with you in it all. You're never alone. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, Paul says in Romans 8. This walk implies that life is more like there's changes, there's starts, and there's stops. Sometimes there's detours on a walk. Sometimes the terrain is rough and rugged and it's steep. Sometimes the motion is slow, and sometimes the pace is fast and it's exciting. Sometimes as we're walking, we're perplexed and we don't really know what we think. Sometimes the walking is full of rejoicing and gladness and excitement, because as we're walking, we're seeing God do amazing things. We're seeing the breakthroughs happening around us. But sometimes we're walking with Him and there's tears and uncertainty. Sometimes we're walking and we're hard pressed, and sometimes there's great momentum. Sometimes we're walking, we're full of doubts and confusion and unbelief, and we don't know what we think anymore. He's with us in it all. And other times we're full of certainty. We know because we know because we know. We're absolutely certain. Sometimes we see really clearly and have clarity. And sometimes we're walking with Him and we have unanswered questions. We're asking Him and He's not answering. We're walking and you might be asking a question. He doesn't really want to answer it right now, because He's answering it slowly in the secret place, in the place where you can't access right now. And suddenly as you're walking, it will go ping. And you'll know, because you know, because He's been working. He wasn't ignorant of your requests, He just didn't want to answer right now. Which is the prerogative of your God, isn't it? He can kind of do what He wants, can't He? Sometimes we're walking, we're disappointed because He didn't do it the way we thought, how we thought, when we thought, the way we thought. And sometimes we're just really encouraged because we prayed it and He did it, and it's amazing. I asked you for that and it's so amazing that you did it. Sometimes we're walking and we're talking, we're longing for breakthrough. Sometimes we're having breakthrough. Sometimes there's victories. And sometimes we're walking and we're failing. Sometimes it's failure that's happened to us or in our circumstances. Sometimes it's our own failure of being, you know, deceived by something that we knew was wrong. We went for it anyway and we're sinning. But we're walking with Him even in the midst of that, where we turn around and think, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm dumb. And He says, look, you confessed it. Actually, there's nothing that's going to separate you anyway. We were walking. It's just you were so in your own head because of your failure. I thought you were never going to speak again. But I was always with you. I didn't switch off from you. I didn't turn away from you. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, he says, now I take limitations in my stride. He uses the word walking. He says, I take limitations in my stride and with good cheer. These limitations cut me down to size. Abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. He's saying, look, as we're walking, that's the Message translation, he might be using beatings or imprisonment or accusations or different circumstances. I take them in my stride. As I'm walking, I just let Christ take over. You take over. So the weaker I get, the stronger I become. 2 Corinthians 12:10. This is all with God. Whole of life, side by side. The good, the bad, the ugly. All with God. So when we're facing, say, overcoming something, we don't do it by running away from God and fixing it ourselves. We do it walking with God. We don't try and fix things and say, God, you're going to love the new version of me, and I'm going to be off on my own a little while because I'm working on it, But when you see the new me, this is a praying me, it's a Bible meditating me, it's an evangelistic me, you're going to love the new me. I'm working on it right now. Can't see it, but soon you will. No, he wants to walk with you in it. As in, not you doing it for him, but you humbly asking him, actually, I need you to do it. As we walk, I need you to do it. I need you to do it. Strengthen me. I need you to do it. I want to walk accompanying you. So faith is being sure of him and his nature and certain of what you yet don't see. So you listen to this. This is Paul talking about, this is the Apostle Paul talking about one moment when he was walking. He says this, at my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. All the people had gone. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. That's an amazing part of his walk. His walk, this is a church planting apostolic powerhouse who wrote most of the New Testament, who brings the clearest revelation of the Lord Jesus. He says, look, as I was walking, I got completely abandoned. But not by the Lord. He was with me. He was by my side in that part of the walk. I want to finish with this because this walk sounds a lot like it's just me and God, walking through life, me and God, my communion with God, my experience of intimacy with God. But actually the Bible talks about it's not good when it's just between me and God. It must overflow. This experience of agape love must overflow to being horizontal to other people too. The experience of walking with God always looks for a way of coming from God to flow out to others. James puts it like this in 2:18, faith and works, works and faith, they fit together like a hand in glove. They overflow. I'm enjoying God, I've got access to God, now it's going to overflow as love to other people. And we see that with the woman with the oil. She is absolutely captivated by Jesus, has an incredible devotion to Jesus, has been forgiven much by Jesus. She can't get enough of Jesus, and it says that Jesus took this oil, this expensive perfume that was worth a whole year's wages, and does something absolutely ridiculously, extravagantly crazy with it, and basically pours it on Jesus. Because she's preparing him for his burial because he's about to go to the cross. This is a crazy moment. Other people are saying, look, this is crazy, this love you have for Jesus that's overflowing in this extravagant action. This could have been used to give to the poor, but Jesus said, no. She's wherever this good news is preached about me, we're going to talk about this woman. Incredible. This walking with Jesus that overflowed into a generous, extravagant act. Not because of duty, not to achieve anything, but just flowing from extravagant devotion to Jesus. So faith and works, works and faith, they fit together like a hand in glove. It's not just me and God personally walking, private relationship. It wants to build up and overflow the banks to bless other people. Paul put it like this in Philippians 1:2. I'm hard pressed between the two. So he's hard pressed between what? Between going to be with Jesus or staying here for useful service. I mean, what a totally different way to understand life is I can't wait to be with Jesus. That's his prize, that's his treasure. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. For that is far better. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. In other words, my desire is I'm so devoted to Jesus. I can't wait to see him face to face. But there's stuff to get on with here. I've got a race to run. I've got a mission to finish. I've got work to do. If I stay, it's because I'm going to be a blessing for your sake as I continue to live. Dare I say it? That the only reason we're on planet Earth still is because it's for the sake of the world and for the sake of one another. Worship is much better in heaven. We're face to face. we're gripped by him and we can see him and there's glory and there's no more suffering, tears or sadness. But for this time we're here because we're on a mission, because we've got a purpose. That this walking with Jesus, this devotion, is not just so that we feel better about our religious practices, but because we're here to walk with him and then bless the world around us. I think the most honest thing we can ever do in all these, with all these verses, is I just makes me hungry to say to God, I want to be like Enoch and walk with you in new measures of intimacy. I don't really completely understand the woman and the perfume. Anybody get it? Anybody understand that kind of extravagant devotion to God that they would sacrifice a whole year of their wealth to pour out on Jesus just to express devotion? I don't get it. Sometimes I feel, well, I understand Judas a bit more. Yeah, I think that sounds like a waste. I think there was things we could have done. So I don't completely understand it. I don't really completely understand Paul where he says, I'm hard pressed between the two. I'm not hard pressed between the two. I don't want to die. but you walk with him in honesty. You see, yeah. That's what a relationship is, where you say, I'm absolutely gripped by Jesus, the devotion of that woman. I'm gripped by Paul's passion for you and his deep affection for you that he's hard pressed. I think I want to walk with you on this. Would you do a work in my heart? Because I want to surrender to you anything that gets in the way. Because I want to have a heart that is hosting you really, really, really well. I want you to be my prize. I want to be like the guy who found a pearl and went away in his joy and sold everything he had to get the pearl. So the Bible is very hedonistic. In other words, it talks a lot about motivation through pleasure. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, the psalmist says. It grips us through the expulsive power of a greater affection. And that greater affection is a work of the Holy Spirit who gives a revelation of the worth and the value and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, who opens up our death grip on anything so that by joy we say, wow, the kingdom of God's so beautiful, you're so beautiful, grip me. And that means we have to walk in authenticity, not in guilt, not in shame, but in honesty, where we say, that's actually not my experience right now, but Holy Spirit, I'm intrigued by the beauty and the simplicity of what I read here, by how the men and the women walked in the Bible. So I'm going to ask us to stand, and we're going to wrap up. The only thing we actually really have to do in life, really, is humbly ask. That's all we can do. And we can humbly ask for new desires. We can ask for fresh revelation. We can ask for our hands to be open if we're gripping hold of anything with death grips. We can ask for such a beautiful encounter with Jesus that we become increasingly hard-pressed between, whoa, actually I want to be with him, but I'm here for purpose. We can ask for a desire to see ourselves and the work that we've got as kingdom men and women in the earth. And we can say, would you grip me with that? Because I feel a bit overwhelmed by life or busyness or problems. We can ask. So what I would say is, whatever jumps out of you, and you don't have to do this because it might be you don't want to, but maybe just to begin to talk with God and say, really, I want to have an awakening in my affections. I want to see a fresh revelation of you. I want to walk by the Spirit, and whatever you feel has come out. So you don't have to do it out loud, but maybe for a moment or two, we're just going to be with him and just recognize our need of him and that only he can do this. what you'll find is you're going to be, some of you are going to be quite surprised, because it might not be today, and it might not be this afternoon, and it might not even be this week, but every single prayer that we prayed in our heart to him, you're going to be amazed, because what you're going to see God do is you're going to see it suddenly sprout up, and you're going to see it. That when we come to God just humbly asking, he hears every one of them. And we might humbly ask many, many things for his work in our lives. And it's up to him when he does it, what order he does, and what timetable he does. You might think the thing you just said is the most important thing in the world. But actually, he might want to do something in a different order. But the main point is that you're going to see suddenly things spring up, and you're going to think, where on earth did that come from? That came from moments where you just humbly asked him, cause my affection to be greater here, open my hands on that, give me new desires there. And you're going to be amazed and think, wow, he heard me and he worked. Yeah, so we want to pray, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the great transformer, you're the great maturer, you're the great teacher, you're the great powerhouse of all transformation. We want to thank you for all the work that you do in our life. Thank you that it's not us modifying ourselves, it's us walking with you and being transformed from one degree of glory as we behold you again and again and again. Thank you that you're so faithful. Thank you for the verses of the Bible that are going to jump out at you, and you're just certainly going to think, yeah, that's the answer to that prayer I prayed on that day. Thank you for the conversations you're going to have with people that are going to be crucial and key. Thank you for the sovereign work that you do when we're not even aware and when we're asleep at night. We thank you, faithful God, for all that you are doing. And we ask you, God, that we would be a people who are awakened by your love, that we'd be consciously aware of you and consciously aware of your love and goodness. Amen.